Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
On Sunday afternoon at Wascana Country Club, a picturesque golf course just outside of Regina, Saskatchewan, a star was born.
Brooke Henderson has become the first Canadian woman in 45 years to win the CP Women's
Open. Amazing performance from Brooke Henderson yesterday.
Or actually, wait, a star was finally noticed by the flocks of casual sports fans in this country who need to witness a headline-grabbing achievement before they'll acknowledge that maybe the best Canadian golfer of all time is a 20-year-old woman from Smiths Falls, Ontario. Because if you ask anyone who has been paying attention, Brooke Henderson is already a household name.
I definitely do play better when I'm aggressive, and, you know, I play smart, but aggressive.
Someone who's long overdue for those headlines she finally got Monday morning, and the rest of us need to learn where the heck she came from and how she became the first Canadian woman in 45 years to win the Canadian Open, all before she was able to legally buy a drink in America. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
She just looked like, you know, that cliche, like she had ice in her veins, like nothing was going to stop her.
Christina Rutherford is a senior writer at Sportsnet and has been covering Henderson since she was about 15 years old and already turning heads on the LPGA Tour. Christina, when was the first time you saw Brooke Henderson?
She had just graduated grade 10. She was 15, and she just made the cut, I believe, at the U.S. Open, which was her first ever appearance at a major championship. Not bad for a grade 10. And she'd earned an exemption, a sponsor's exemption, into a Canadian tournament. I think it was the LPGA Classic in Waterloo. And so I went out there and watched her on the practice round day. And she was paired with world number one, then world number one, Yanni Tseng.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. You're 15. It's cool. Who was fist bumping her, and they were having a great time. She looked, you know, she didn't look like she was nervous. It was unbelievable. And that was when I first caught wind of her and realized how good she was, just in speaking to her coaches, too, and watching her play.
Tell me where she came from. When did she start playing golf? Where did she learn?
So she started, I think she used her grandmother's cut-down clubs, and she started playing at Smiths Falls, which is about 5 minutes from where she grew up, Smiths Falls Golf and Country Club, which is about 5 minutes from where she grew up. And I think she was 4 or 5. She was very young, and she was just following her sister around because her sister played and her dad played. And they had trouble. I remember her dad saying they had trouble finding places for the girls to play when they were young because they were so young and because maybe they were girls and they were better than a lot of their competition.
Yeah.
So that was trouble. So he would kind of parachute them around to different courses. And I remember one of her coaches telling me a story about how she was maybe 9 or 10 and she was playing, I think, a head-to-head kind of maybe Ryder Cup style for kids tournament,
right,
against a bunch of boys, and she three-putted the last hole and lost, and she dragged her bag into the parking lot and sat in the parking lot sulking until her coach came over and told her, you know, that it was okay. But she's had that competitive fire, you know, the whole time, and it seems she's learned how to harness it, and it's definitely working in her favor now.
What was kind of the word about her among people who follow women's golf in Canada or just in general?
So I think if Brooke Henderson had been a hockey player, she would have been a household name at 14. But because she was a golfer, players like Elena Sharp, who's a veteran on the tour, also a Canadian from Hamilton, first heard about Brooke when Brooke was 10 or 11. So
wow.
She'd been good for a really long time. So none of this is kind of unexpected.
How do you hear about a 10-year-old golfer?
Right? I know. So I remember Elena Sharp. I did a longer feature on Brooke a couple of years ago after she won for the first time on tour, and she was 17 when she won for the first time. And Elena used the words, the real deal. So she heard about Brooke Henderson, I think at 10 or 11, and said, I heard that she was the real deal. I don't even know how that happens. I do know at that point she had almost won her at her local club in Smiths Falls, tiny town near Ottawa, which you probably know.
Yeah.
She had almost won the ladies' member championship at age 10.
Not the junior championship.
No, against, you know, full-grown women, like she's up to their elbow. And she'd been leading, I think it was only two rounds, and she'd been leading heading into Sunday or whatever, whenever the last round was, and she'd had a bad round, and she'd come second. And she, I drove around her course with her later when she was maybe 18, and she was still disappointed about that. And then at age 11, she won that tournament by 23 strokes.
Of course she did.
So that's kind of the real deal.
What has been the reaction of sort of the mainstream sports media to her? Because I feel like after she won this, the Canadian Open, it's been an explosion of, oh, Brooke Henderson. But she's not like, well, I mean, aside from the fact that she was winning her club championship at 11 years old, this is not her first rodeo on the LPGA or anywhere else.
No, not at all. I think what really stands out to me is the fact that no golfer in history, at least since we've been tracking who wins at what age, has won a pro tournament at a younger age than Brooke Henderson. So not Tiger Woods, not Rory McIlroy, not Lydia Ko. It's Brooke Henderson. She was 14 years old. So the fact that
it's...
She was 14 years old, and she won a tournament on the Canadian Women's Tour at 14. And so the fact that it's taken her, maybe it's taken her this long to become a household name, is kind of crazy because she won a major at 18. She was the third woman in history to be granted LPGA membership before she turned 18, which is when you're allowed to join the tour. She was 17, which she kind of forced by winning her first tournament at 17 by something like 8 strokes, which is ridiculous. But yeah, this win definitely put her in a conversation that she should have already been in.
Is she the best athlete in Canada right now?
I think so. The fact that she won a major at 18 was enormous, but the fact that she won this tournament on home soil, considering all that pressure, considering nobody'd done that in 45 years, considering she had a small lead heading into Sunday, you know?
All the situations kind of ripe for, well, Canadians have choked in those positions in the past.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that you can argue with that she is the best in Canada.
You've checked in on her kind of a few times reporting over the years. What have you seen from her in terms of like growing up? How do you grow up in a world where, you know, you're a champion at age 14 playing against 30-year-old women?
Well, I remember talking to her ahead of that event when she was, I guess, 15 in Waterloo, and she was so excited. She just talked to Morgan Pressel, who's a veteran on tour, an American who was kind of her idol. And I remember her saying, she even talked to me. It was so cool. And she was still in awe of the fact that she'd qualified for the U.S. Open. She Monday qualified, I believe. And she said, you know, I figured I deserved to be there because I qualified. And then she sort of said, but, and trailed off and started laughing. What I noticed about her when she was 15, she was like a lot of 15-year-olds, you know? She was in awe of the older players on tour. I don't know if she still does, but she used to travel with some Lucky Charms, like a stuffed turtle. And she had a ladybug on her shoe, because that's good luck, unless they have like 7 spots or something.
Right.
So she was your regular kind of kid, and very sweet, very nice. And I don't think she's lost any of that. And she's also supremely confident, but not in an arrogant way. She'll say, you know, her goal is to win the Olympics. She'll say her goal is to become a top 5 player in the world when she's still a teenager. And she has all the skill to back that up.
How far is she away from the top of the LPGA Tour right now?
She's right there. I mean, she's been in the top 10 for a long time. I think her career high was number 2 when she was still a teenager. So she's there without question. She's one of the most consistent players on tour and has been for a long time.
Is there a disconnect in this country between how much attention we pay to women athletes at the top of their game versus, say, well, your point was if she played hockey, she would be a household name by now or a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
but I had to flip around channels on Sunday to try and find coverage of the Canadian women's championship.
I think that's it's a function of the sport she plays, right? Golf is just not as popular in Canada, obviously, as hockey. Not even close, nothing is. I don't think it's as popular in Canada as tennis is either. And that's maybe in part because, I mean, the last massive moment in Canadian golf, you could argue, was when Brooke won a major when she was 18. And before that, it might be when Mike Weir won the Masters in 2003. So there haven't been as many faces of this sport. And tennis is in a pretty hot spot in Canada right now. There's a lot of really good players on the Canadian side. And Brooke's kind of obviously leading the charge in terms of elite golfers.
What makes her special?
I think if you watched her on the back nine on Sunday, and she had, I'm trying to remember, she's leading by one at that point. She was at one point tied, I think. And she just looked like, you know, that cliche, like she had ice in her veins, like nothing was going to stop her. And she had hundreds and hundreds of people cheering for her, singing the national anthem, chanting her name. And she was looking straight ahead, bombing drives, picking up her tee, walking down the middle of the fairway, you know, hitting it to 3 feet, tapping it in. I think that's part of what makes her special. But she's also got, and I think a lot of elite athletes do, she has a crazy work ethic. In talking to her childhood coach, she used to go over there. She used to be a hockey goalie when she was a kid.
Really?
She used to go out there in the winter and just for hours hit balls. And then in between, if he told her to rest, she would take a tennis ball and start whipping it at the wall and catching it to work on her hand eye. So she's driven. She used to practice for hours in the rain on the driving range at her home club. There's tons of stories about that from the members there. So she's just got this work ethic and obviously some crazy athleticism.
How much attention do Canadian athletes get when something like this happens outside of Canada? Like, do people in America know who Brooke Henderson is?
I think so. I think because she's been the youngest or one of the youngest every time, almost every time she's accomplished something, at least early in her LPGA career, I think she definitely has a name. And because women's sport in general is broadcast so much more in the U.S., if you turn on the TV, you're going to see softball or you're going to see golf. It's on TV in the States. And so I think for sure she has a name. And she's a huge face on the LPGA Tour, as she should be, because she's a great ambassador for the game.
What can we do to fix that in Canada?
Well, we can show it more. I think that's the biggest problem affecting most women's sports, is that they're not seen enough. And people don't know who to cheer for because they don't see them. And they don't know the athletes.
You've written a lot about young kids who are excelling in junior hockey, amateur sports, maybe even some baseball and golf. What's it like trying to cover somebody who's so young that, you know, they haven't really turned into the kind of fully realized media personas that we see, you know, when one of these veteran athletes talks to the media? What's that like?
Well, I think with Brooke, she's never struck me as being really young. You know, even when she was 15 and she was kind of in awe of the athletes, she's always been really well-spoken and respectful, and she does have this maturity to her. I think she's kind of always had that. It's not like you would think, oh, that's a kid that needs media training. You know, she's always been pretty polished. I'm pretty sure. Definitely hockey players. Too much media training, I think.
Did you play with her?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I'm pretty bad.
Well, me too, but she's really good.
But she's really good. So we just played 9 holes of her home course. And it was.
She had the home field advantage too.
Oh, well, she was on my team.
Okay.
So it was a 3-on-3 best ball thing with the GM of the course and her dad and her childhood coach and her sister, who's also her caddy, who's also a pro golfer. So I was on a team with Brooke and we lost, probably because of me.
What?
I'm really sorry, Brooke.
When Brooke was coming up, who were some of the people that she had as role models? Were they women, or were a lot of the men, because that's kind of what you see?
I know she idolized her sister, Brittany, who's I think 6 or 7 years older.
Oh.
And is her caddy and is a great golfer herself, a professional. And I know Elena Sharp has been a really good friend to her. I don't know that she looked up to anybody in particular, but I know that once she got on tour, she was picking brains. She was asking people for tips, which apparently a lot of younger players don't do. They come in there very confident.
Really?
Where she came in, that's what Elena told me. Yeah, she came in and she was immediately asking questions and getting any tips she could. So absorbing that information.
Is she going to get better?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she's 20 years old.
It's insane to me that we're having this conversation. She's 20 years old and you've been covering her for 6 years or so.
Yeah, 5 years. But I think this is her second win of the season. She's ranked in the top 10 in the world. She's having probably the most difficult personal year she's ever had in that she lost both of her grandfathers in the span of a month earlier this summer. And so after her win on Sunday, she was really emotional because she's been through a lot. So I think that Brooke Henderson can put all that together and have the Sunday that she did, have the week that she did in Regina. I think she's just getting started.
Thanks, Christina.
Thanks for having me.
Christina Rutherford, senior writer at Sportsnet, who's been following Brooke Henderson since she was 15 years old. That was The Big Story. For more from us, check out thebigstorypodcast.ca. All of our episodes are there. You can contact us right there, or you can contact us on social media at Big Story Podcast, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And you can subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Google, other ones. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thanks for listening, and we will talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.